I really come today to talk to you about my mom. But I can't really say nothing about my mama until I say something about your mama. So let me just start with your mama.
This is from his one-man play, but he'll entertain you any way he can, anywhere he can, and for however much people are willing to pay.
Yeah, I do weddings, divorces, Passover, hangover. I do a party in the phone booth if you promise a call. I take green stamp, food stamp, Canadian money. I take your bus transfer if it's got some time left on it.
His sobriety is part of his story, but this OG comedian, he's always living his best life.
I sit smack dab in the middle of my dream. I'm doing everything I've ever wanted to do
with
in my entire
energy.
Life. Yeah, and you can change your life at any moment you choose, but what moment shall you choose is the real question.
Obviously, a longtime comedian, actor, author, Michael Collier here on The Pulse. But first, he's got to check in with his wife to make sure it's okay.
How you doing? It's very nice to meet you.
That my sweet, I'm all sweet potato right there. Okay, well, I got to go make the donuts. I'll call you later. I love you. Mwah. See you, mama.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. We talk to cool people doing amazing things. We hear their story. And I am excited because, I mean, OG, just a G, one of the legends of comedy. People who've been doing it for years, Mr. Michael Collier in the building.
Thank you, brother. I'm honored to be here. Good morning. How you feel?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Listen, your energy is so positive. Just being in the room with you, I feel good.
Man, it's a blessing to wake up, baby.
Okay.
Just to wake up. I feel like when I wake up, I already won. Now, what am I going to do with that greatness?
Okay.
You know?
I like it.
That's every morning for me.
All right.
Plus, I'm in love.
Yeah, we
and
just saw that.
And that has everything.
Yeah, we just saw that.
Yeah, okay,
you just called your wife right before we start the show?
Yes. I can't breathe without her. That's
okay.
It.
She runs a restaurant. Owns a restaurant.
She owns a restaurant.
Okay.
She owns a restaurant. She's chefs some of the time, but she mostly runs the restaurant. And she is phenomenal. It's a soul food restaurant named after her called Simply Sonia.
Okay.
And I apologize to my mama when I say this, but this woman makes a better salmon croquette than my mama. And my mama held that title for 24 years. You understand?
Okay.
My wife makes a thing called a soul roll. It's an egg roll filled with collard greens, fried chicken, candy yams, macaroni, and cheese.
In the egg
you know,
roll?
All in the egg roll. Oh, it is delicious. She does a thing with chicken wings. I don't really eat chicken wings, but she does a thing with chicken wings.
And yeah. It's in North Carolina.
North Carolina, Winston-Salem.
Okay.
I met her there when I went to do I have a one-man play I'm doing 100 cities called Michael Collier's Mama. If you like your mama, you're going to love this play. And do you know of the National Black Theater Festival in Winston-Salem?
Yeah.
So we have a National Black Theater Festival in Winston-Salem, and I understand if you don't know about it because we've only been doing it since 1979. But anyway, every 2 years.
How about Philly, man? I've been stuck in Philly.
No, every 2 years, 2,000 black people descend upon the city of Winston. Don't worry about me. I'm all right.
Okay.
Depends. They come into the city of Winston-Salem and do theater for 7 days. They take over every theater, not just movie theaters, but all legitimate theaters. And they do 7 to 11 black plays every day for a week. It's the most amazing thing you've ever seen. I mean, it's like I said, 2,000 black people. White folks leave and give us the city. I'm not lying. Like 40% of the population leave and just give us the city.
He's like, it's funny because it's true.
It's true. Right, and right. It's the coolest thing in the world. And it's bizarre. It's for African garbs and books and all that. But to think every form of theater there is that black people do is celebrated there in those 7 days. So you had a one-man play. You have the two-person plays. You have the musical. You have, like, man, I do a one-man play.
Mm-hmm.
I play 17 characters. So I play my mother and my father. I play me at 4 different ages. I play the alcoholics, crackheads, and church ladies that ran my community, and I tell my story. You
okay.
know, most of my followers know my story. I'm an addict. I did crack for 23 years. Mm-hmm. And come this March 1st, I have 18 years of pure sobriety. Telling this story, I'm allowing other people to see that they're not stuck, you know, because I did crack for 23 years. And now I sit smack dab in the middle of my dream. I'm doing everything I've ever wanted to do
with
in my entire
energy.
Life. Yeah. And you can change your life at any moment you choose, but what moment shall you choose is the real question. Because we have the power is within us, and we don't have to seek it out. It resides within us. All we have to do is say it. It's funny how so many people be talking about, man, I'm a manifest. Humans don't manifest. The Holy Spirit manifests. What we do is decide. So once you decide, this is what I'm doing, once you commit to it, then the universe opens up and gives you what you want. The whole point is a lot of people are not clear on what they want. A lot of people are scattered and all over the place. But once you set your intention, then the universe can come in and give you the things you need to let you actualize what you're thinking about.
I'm just sitting here looking, going, I don't need this.
you rarely need notes with me.
No, but you know what? It was I was going to ask because I was aware of your battle and overcoming addiction. Mm-hmm. And
it wasn't much of a battle. No, everything is how you look at it. Fact of the matter is,
20 plus years.
I was having a damn good time. Let me just tell you. Until I woke up one morning and realized that I had lost a lot of money and friends and relationships, you know. But I was having the time of my life. I'm not a woe is me addict. My life was hard. No, I was sneaking around doing stuff I shouldn't have been doing. I was wasting money and wasting time and wasting energy and disrespecting my Lord. And I changed all of that, you know. And in changing all of that, everything else in my life changed. Once I made God first, once God is the center of everything, then all worry goes away. Impossible is just a suggestion.
So you were having a really good time, and yet it seems like now you kicked it, and your energy's, I'm guessing, you're having a better time.
I'm having the best time of my life now, though. But I, you know, it's mostly God, but it was God that gave me my queen. God that gave me my wife, you know, because, you know, I ain't no spring chicken. And me and my wife both thought that we had come to the time in my life where whoever was supposed to be here for us had come and gone. You know, when I met my wife, she was 55. She's going on 58. I just turned 69.
Okay.
And we both been married and divorced twice, so we got through the practice. Okay, so now it's about the living, you know, and we found each other. And it's so funny, too, because I started out by doing comedy in the streets in Chicago, you know, on State Street. And then it got cold in December. And wasn't nobody trying to hear no jokes in December on State Street. So I packed up everything that would fit in my car. I had a 1967 Buick LeSabre. And I sold everything else. And then I drove to California so I could stand in the street and do jokes, you know, and do comedy. And I ended up doing Venice Beach. So I ended up doing 9 years on Venice Beach, 5 one-hour shows every Saturday and Sunday without
making a living,
fail.
You surviving out there?
I did 6 figures a year every year.
Doing street performing?
Yes, sir. I killed them. I would have anything from 600 to 700 people would stand in a circle for an hour in the sun and listen
so
to
you
me.
you were doing it yourself long before social media and everybody started doing it.
They weren't even talking about social media when I did it from 86 to 95.
Can you imagine if social media existed at that point?
Like, holy, you're doing Jesus, six figures. It'd be crazy if we had social media back
then. If you could have done that for the Globe.
Wow, it'd be crazy. It'd
although
be crazy.
You probably wouldn't be.
I ain't going back now. I'm too old for that. I can't go back. Yeah, but which is really interesting because I did go back and we just shot it. So we just shot a 1 hour special on Venice Beach and you know, on the beach that I started. I built the stage right in front of the police station. I built it to look like a king's crown, and it's called the King of Venice Beach. We did it with 6 cameras and a crane, but the city wouldn't give us permission to use a drone, but I found a brother who knew how to use a drone from his house 6 miles away, and I'm telling you, the aerial views will blow your mind.
Should have hollered at me. I got a drone license.
You have a drone license?
I got a drone
My brother
license.
Just got one.
I would have come
sick
there
with
and
it too.
It
That's
real
all
quick.
He talk about.
Oh, I probably shouldn't say that because I'm licensed. I'm not supposed to be doing it when the police say no.
Oh no, you're not supposed to do it. But can they prove it?
It's a valid point.
Oh, it's not what you can say. It's what you can prove. What
just,
can you prove?
Just the drone that was out there. So. We got.
I love my coffee. Look, I love my coffee so much, I just throw it at my face. If I get it in there, I'm good.
We're just setting you up. You should see the street performer in you. Nothing phases you.
No,
you
that's
just take it.
Let me say that
going.
You're true. That's from the street performer. Yeah. From being a street performer.
Just keep going.
Yeah, nothing phases me. I could play any audience as long as they understand English.
Okay.
I could play any audience. I could mime a little if it gets to that. But there's no audience that I can't speak to. There's no topic that I can't speak on. And mostly it's because of being on Venice Beach. I mean, I was surrounded by everybody, white, black, young, old, gay, straight, Asian, you name it. And they would stand there for hours. Some people didn't even speak English. But they would stay because I guess the energy and the movement kept them. Some didn't even know what the hell is looking at, but they wasn't moving. And then when I would do 40 minutes of comedy and 20 minutes of getting my money. Oh, no, I was a man. I taught everybody on that beach how to make money at street performance.
It feels like your background. So Southside Chicago.
Southside.
I was telling him my father's family's from there.
Robert Taylor Homes, 4352 South State Park, 909. Then we moved to Morgan Park.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you know about Morgan Park, but do you know about a play called A Raisin in the Sun.
Yes, sir.
So A Raisin in the Sun was a story about a black family that got a big check because daddy died. Mm-hmm. So they got a $10,000 check. And mama wanted to move into a good neighborhood, but the son wanted to start his own business. He, mama, you give me that money, that whole thing. And they were supposed to be moving to Clybourne Park in Chicago, but that was really Morgan Park. That was okay. The story that Lorraine Hansberry was writing. So I grew up in this neighborhood that was really interesting because it was mostly white when I moved in and mostly black when I left. And that was over a 30-year period. And to see that change and that influx, like I didn't even know white people before I moved to Morgan Park. I mean, I saw them, I'd say hi,
right.
But I didn't even know anybody white. Then we moved to Morgan Park for high school in 71. I went from 71 to 75. And I met people who are different from me. It's one of the reasons I fell in love with film and television is because they did a play called Guys and Dolls. Mm-hmm. And I had never seen a play. I had never been in a theater. And they was doing it, I hadn't been in a legitimate theater. I had been in movie theaters. Mm-hmm. And they did this play, and I sat there fascinated at these children who were playing gangsters and playing adults. And so I went with them to the rap party, you know, and rap party is where people go after you do a show and people get together and party about it. And these white, black, and Asian kids had really nice homes in Morgan Park, and I had never been around this type of environment, white, black. Everybody loved each other. Everybody was cool. We had a common ground, which was theater. And that was my freshman year. I knew from then on that's what I was going to do the rest of my life. And after that, I was a lead in a play every year after that. And then we formed our own comedy company, and I tried to do it in the street. So I knew it was going to be my love was acting, but I couldn't make no money acting. So I had to learn how to do comedy. Because with comedy, I can get my money right now, you know, with acting. I got to hope crazy. For the best, you
that's
know.
That's crazy, though. When you think of my father, Altgeld Gardens, far mm-hmm. south side of Chicago, mm-hmm. the South Street, they grew up there. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about that during the break. But it just the resourcefulness that you learned in those steps to always be able to make it. So you mm-hmm. say you're making six figures doing street comedy.
Yeah.
You get discovered and you went on Star Search.
Have I been discovered?
I don't know, because you were already making six figures.
I haven't been discovered yet? I don't think I've been discovered
yet. This was,
yet.
You know, 1980-something.
I'm watching people get there. I ain't got man yet. I don't know about the discovered part. People know of me because I slowly eased into it, but I ain't got it yet.
Now, I mean, you work with a lot of people in a lot of things.
I've worked with a lot of people. I've had a lot of opportunities. The big one ain't came yet, but it's always at the precipice. It's right there. It's right in front of me. I mean, I'm on 8 projects, and either one of them hit y'all
it's
toast.
Different.
Oh, my God. It's all over.
You going to stop taking our call?
Oh, man. I ain't talking to y'all no more. Somebody said that to me the other day. They said, you know, Michael, you've been in the business over 30 years. Actually, it's 39 years. It'll be 40 years in December. And they say you never change. That's because I ain't got my money yet. Oh, when I get my money, I'm not talking to y'all no more.
Listen.
I'm buying some brand new friends. I'm buying all new friends. All new friends.
I'm offering to break the law for you. I was going to fly the drone and everything. You're going to forget the number.
Oh, no, you with me. You breaking the law for me, you with me.
Okay.
Don't you worry about that. You in there like swimwear.
Because if I do that, I'm gonna need the job. So you did Star Search. You won Star Search.
Yeah, they just brought that back, too. Anthony Anderson is doing it.
You should
it's
be
the
doing
whole stuff. Well, they should at least have me come in and do a guest part since I gave half my money to the homeless.
Well, and that was interesting. Because at that point, I mean, obviously you're doing well, street performing.
I was doing okay. I was living in a one-room room and rooming with a roomer.
Really?
But I was taking a sack of money home every day, you know. Okay. And
cash.
Yeah, it was cash. and
the IRS.
But I came to, I'd gone to California to get rich. I was doing street performance in Chicago, and I was killing it. And it was the first year I'd done it. And I mean, I was becoming the king of it already before mm-hmm. winter. But then when I came to California, I came to be a millionaire, and I got there and discovered the people, you know, the homeless people and the people who had to go through stuff and the drug addicts like me. And I realized that it's not about me. It's about me finding you. It's about me finding my brother. So until I find you, I haven't found myself. So instead of going there to be a millionaire, I wanted to be a billionaire, a being. I want to be the greatest human I could be. So instead of trying to make a living, I live my making. And my making shall make my living. If you look at the works I do, all my work is about healing. It's about giving back to people. It's about lifting society. It's about embracing joy. It's about knowing that God exists in everything. There is no space where the Holy Spirit is not. No matter how dank and dirty or how celebrated, God resides in all spaces, and it's a power that you can call on at any time. And all of this is reflected in my work. So I do comedy, but it's to uplift you.
But even before we knew, even before, like, you won Star Search, but even before we knew, before Poetic Justice and, you know, before House Party and before I didn't start rattling stuff off, I got written down, before working with, you know, Eddie Murphy and Bernie Mac and all this kind of things, you won Star Search then, $100,000, and gave half of it away.
And I was still on the beach. Like I said, I was living in a one-room room and rooming with a roomer. But, you know, when Ed asked me, when Ed McMahon, who was then the host, asked me what I would do with the money, I didn't know that was coming. And it's so funny because the guy that I beat, well, I actually beat two guys, but one beat himself. You ever heard of Larry Wilmore?
He's
Big Monkey Muck, producer. He does, like, the Daily Show with Jon Stewart. He had his own show for a while. First, he beat himself. Okay, so in the semifinals, he decided he was going to do his impression of Ike and Tina Turner. Okay, so he comes out with a wig and a skirt and high heels with his back to the audience, and he's shimmying around, and then you hear these sounds. This sound like somebody's being punched in the face. And every time you hear the sound, his head snapped back. So the wig, it was hilarious if you was on Def Jam. But Star Search, little blue-haired ladies from Minnesota, they were mortified. He was toast. So that got him out. So that's how I beat him. And then this next guy came along who you wouldn't recognize. I ain't gonna say his name because you wouldn't recognize him if he stood up in your soup. But he's out of Chicago. Okay. And it came down to me and him. And Ed said, his name's Anthony. Anthony, what would you do if you won $100,000? He said, well, I'll buy my mom a house. Everybody was, And he said, well, what would you do? I said, well, I'm gonna give half to the homeless. They were, right? So now there's this lady named Lena Waithe. You know her?
Mm-mm.
She's a lesbian woman who's the first lesbian to win the Emmy for writing on our HBO show. You know who I'm talking about? She's got really short hair, and now she's created, and she's the producer of the show called The Chi.
Okay.
You need to know who Lena Waithe is.
Yeah,
she's really powerful in the industry because she's got a lot of shows as well as she's doing feature films. So they're doing a movie with that clown that I beat, and he's telling the story that I beat him because I see it. I was going to give my money to the homeless. Not because he couldn't carry my luggage when it comes to comedy, no. But because I didn't even know that. I mean, I would have done that if I knew that would work. But I didn't even think about that. You know, Ed didn't give us no questions in advance. We were standing there in front of the world, and he just asked us a question. That was my first thought because I was on Venice Beach, and I was standing out there looking at people and watching people struggle and watching people try to survive. And crackheads, I don't know why it is, they outlive they dealers. You understand me? The dealer be dead. Here the crackhead walking fast, trying to get to the next place. We don't even know why he going or where. You know what I'm saying? And so I realized it's really about the people. It's really about me finding the light in other people, you know? And so my mission is not about stuff and things. I'm not trying to acquire things. I'm trying to acquire heart. I'm trying to make sure that my mother and God are proud of me. Now, is that being perfect? Heck no. I've done so much bad stuff. If there is a hell, if I'm not there, I'm going to at least be in hell adjacent. Because
we all make the mistakes. We all make the choices.
They have fun in hell, too. They have fun in hell. It's just hot.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to
find out.
You
don't wear a T-shirt. Just wear a T-shirt and flip-flops, and you should be okay.
That's where you and I part ways.
Uh-oh.
Like, I'm not trying to find
out. Don't be a chicken now.
Listen, I'm not messing with that.
No.
So you have, and I feel like we're kind of just talking and telling stories. I want to make sure we talk about some of the things that you've got going on.
You got notes? Tell me about it.
I haven't looked at these notes since we said that. That ship sailed. I'm going to have to go down here and try to figure out where I am on this list of notes. But doing a lot of things. So you said you did your hour special. Books.
Oh, don't get me started. Okay, first, the hour
tell
special.
Us some of the things
it's
we can
called
look for.
The King of Venice Beach, because that's where I'm from. And I want to take it back to that. So it sort of tells my story of how I started out there and I spent 9 years and we give back, you know. And so it's cold-blooded, man. I open it up with a candy apple red 1963 Chevy as I'm coming down the alleys of Venice Beach with West Coast Funk underneath it. And then an animation opens it up, and then I'm on a stage that we built in front of the police station. Okay. And it looks like a king's crown. So it's called the King of Venice Beach. But the beauty of it is, I always collect money at the end of my shows on Venice. So I collected money at the end of this show, which was a stage show. And I had people stand up, and people gave me 50s and 20s. And one fool ran down his car and got a checkbook and wrote a check for $10,000. But we'll find out in the show how real that is. But, yeah, I took a picture of him just in case it don't clear. And so we did the show. And then when I collected the money in this big bag, I jumped off stage. Then I jumped into a $200,000 Jaguar, and I drive to the Mission. So when you first see the film, it looks like I'm taking the money and jumping in my luxury car to take off. Yeah. But I go directly to the Midnight Mission, which I didn't know a brother is the CEO. It's ice cold, man. In downtown LA, the Midnight Mission feeds 745 people hot meals 3 days a week. I mean, not 3 days a week, three times a day, every day. And you can get showers there. So homeless people can just come and get showers. They have a barbershop in there. It's only one chair, but they have a barbershop. They have a dress to impress room. So Macy's and people like that is giving them clothes. So if homeless people get a job application and they get an interview, they could go in there and get everything, suit, tie, shoes, and they get to keep it, whether they get the job or not, if they go into a job interview. And if you come to the Midnight Mission, for three blocks around there, it's just people lying on the ground, homeless people laying on boxes and in crates. And then you go in, this place is just laid out for them. They really help. I didn't even know that. I was going to give the money to a homeless shelter in Venice because I did my work in Venice. I did the show in Venice. The shelter in Venice said, no, we close at 5. Hold up. I'm going to jump off the stage at 5:30 with a sack of money. But y'all don't want the sack of money because y'all close at 5. Okay. Anyway, my people got right on the line. They found the Midnight Mission, which is what we really needed to go to in the first place. Because that brother's off the chain, man. They care about people over there. They love people over there. So I pull up in the candy apple red and pour the money on the table. Instead of writing some big goofy check, you know, we added $1,500 to what they gave us, and we just poured the money. So at the final scene, you see the Midnight Mission, and these guys are stacking the money and counting it as we pull off. Oh, it's fly, because we have to learn to give back, man.
That's amazing.
You know, and I'm a brother's keeper. My sisters, too.
They're going to put us out of this room. So I got a couple more questions.
Have we started
that I
yet?
Have to ask. Nah. Listen, we're going to go to the room where all we're right. actually going to do the interview. All right. So you also have the books. If people want to get a hold of the books that you do.
Okay. Let's talk about books.
Let's talk about your
My
books.
My newest book is Little Bobby White. I don't know. Let me see which one is. That's a good one right there. It's Little Bobby White. Oh, little kids are black. Yeah, it's little because it's not about the color. It's about the story. It's a story of a kid who always wins because he always chooses to do the right thing. You know, it's a lesson we don't teach our kids anymore. We don't teach our kids to be good, for goodness sake. In fact, we don't teach them anything. What we do is we give them a device and we sit them in a corner. Then we come back 8 years later, we don't know why they're sitting on bed with a pistol, rolling joints and calling us out of our name, because we've forgotten our responsibility as parents. I'm not responsible for being his friend. That's nice if it works out. Cordial, I'm responsible to be cordial. But my job is to teach him to be a functioning, positive human being, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's how come you got kids walking around now with their pants hanging off their butt and no belt because their other kids are raising them. Ain't they daddies and the uncles, the kids, oh, that's what you want to do. But anyone, I'm telling you right now, if you're wearing your pants off your, hanging off your butt, you ain't got no belt, the belt is loose. If someone telling you that look good, they're lying to you. They're bumping your head. They're making a fool of you. Let that go. You should dress the way you want to be addressed. You know? You should be able to walk up to anybody and they feel comfortable seeing you coming. You know, some like my young brothers be wearing the stuff, be looking so ragged, look like they clammed out a pile of dirty laundry. You can't come to a job like that. You can't, you know, so I'm not telling people about fashion or style, you know. Fashion and style is my life. But don't take on fashions that make you look bad. Don't take on fashions that don't lift you up and make you and your society and your community look good. It's crazy. And I'm laughing at you anyway. That's the main thing. You look goofy. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
And sending
so the book is called Little Bobby White. And also the artist is Demar Douglas. There's a famous picture of Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. And his afro is a big fist. This is the artist that drew this. I don't know if y'all can see this artwork, but this artwork is ridiculous. The guy is so great. I really believe that Oprah is going to hold this book up and call it her favorite children's book because it's a warm and loving story. And it's inexpensive. It's at Amazon. It ain't for $15 at Amazon. If you give them $3 more, they bring it to your house today. So I don't know where these people are parked. I don't know, really. No, I bought some from Amazon Wednesday. I ordered it Wednesday. They brought it to my house in 17 minutes.
I know.
Where the hell are these people? Where are they sitting? Are they parked at the corner?
I'm sorry. Double parked.
Go ahead. What was you going to say?
No, because we got to get ready to get out of here so they can follow
us. We haven't even said
media.
Nothing. Wait. Let me go fast. Okay, so we got the book Little Bobby White. This author also did my first book, and I know y'all missing Barack. It was called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the White House. I knocked on the door, and a brother answered. I only sold 14,000 copies. But the Little Bobby Whites, you can get them at my show. But I'm also doing a is this going to play recently or this go Tuesday?
Nah.
Oh, it's too late. So
you're on tour doing book signings
my book
and everything
signing. Yeah, I'm doing a book signing.
So they should follow you on your website and social media.
Oh, you can follow
media.
Me everywhere. Follow me at The Real Michael Kaya. If you go to realmichaelkaya.com, that's my webpage, and it'll give you everything. But I'm on everything. Okay. I mean, if you can't find me, you ain't looking for me. I'm in the Yellow Pages, and they don't even sell the Yellow Pages no more.
The theme of this show is use your voice for good. I feel like we've been doing that for the last 30 minutes plus.
The chicken does too. You hear that
there
voice?
You go.
I'm sorry.
When you hear use your voice for good, what does that mean to you?
Use whatever skills and tools you have intellectually to be able to speak to other people and lift them up and guide them. At least for me, you know, I live for positivity. I eat, sleep, and drink it. People say everybody have a bad day sometimes. Not me. I don't have no bad days ever because I don't allow circumstances to determine my attitude. I will always wake up with an attitude of gratitude because I made it. I'm still here. Remember, I did crack for 23 years, and now I'm doing films, television. I got two specials coming out. I just did a six-episode series called Highly Favored. You ever heard the term blessed and highly favored?
Absolutely.
And what tickles me is I'm the pastor. They hired a heathen to play the pastor. And Rodney Perry is my deacon. Kiki Shepherd is my wife. Melanie Camacho is one of the church mothers. I open each show with a sermon, which sets up the sitcom. Then we do it, and at the end, I come back and tell you what you learned. Oh, it's ice cold. And it's on Impact TV. All you got to do is go on your phone and put in watchimpact.com. It'll pop right up. It's called Highly Favored. And I'm doing a one-man play, Michael Kaya's mama. And I'm hireable. Yeah, I do weddings, divorces, Passover, hangover. I do a party in the phone booth if you promise a call. I take green stamp, food stamp, Canadian money. I take your bus transfer if it's got some time left on it.
We got to go.
Oh, we got to go.
Michael Collier,
I send
this
love.
Has been a pleasure.
Thank you, King.
I appreciate
this has been
you
fun.
Spending some time with
Thank
us.
You, man, for letting me do amazing. All the talking and ignore this chicken. This
Make
chicken
sure
ain't got nothing to do with it.
Make sure you're following him. Hit him up on social media, the book signings, the tour, the one-man show. He said, if you can't find him, you're not looking.
You ain't looking. God bless you.
Michael Collier.
Thank you, King. Blessings.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today with comedian and actor and now author Michael Collier. He's got an amazing story of all the things that he's overcome. He shares it. It's inspiring. It's empowering. And at the same time, it makes you laugh. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Do me a favor. Hit like, follow, subscribe, whatever it is that shows up on your screen so you'll get a notification every week when another episode of The Pulse is available. You also can download the Fox Local app. 160-ish shows are right there on demand. You can find your favorite guests and watch them. And I would imagine once you start watching, you will enjoy quite a few of them. And of course, you can hit me up on social media at BillAFox29. I love hearing from you. Thanks so much for listening, and I leave you as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.